Mike Dempsey. Look, I hear from people all the time who are having tax problems, but don't be afraid of the IRS. Right now, you can talk or meet with local professionals that are here to help your specific tax issues. Accelerate your tax solution with Accelerated Tax Solutions.
We'll go ahead for runway 13 and requesting a couple of turns for airward.
Number 6 Papa Kilo, altimeter 3005, advise 1 minute, jumpers away.
And then Hotel Bravo Uniform, then direct to the airport, climbing between 4000, 430 and 10, departure 190 and 2447.
Your First Coast Honda dealers proudly present The High Flyin' Show with Jack O'Brien and the Wiener. Show is brought to you by the Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant, by Ascent Aviation, by Aircraft General Supply, by Angie Subs, by the Hidden Hills Golf Club, and by Hardball Creative. And now, live from the High Flying Studios, here's your host, Jack O'Brien, and the Wiener.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the High Flying Show. And a very happy High Flying September 25th to you this morning. All of you out there in the high-flying radio land that is only a couple of days past the fall equinox, which happened on the 22nd of September. That's the day, Bob, that the day and the night are comparable in 12 hours each. Did you know that?
What moon is that going to be?
I don't know, but I think that was the harvest moon. Anyhow, a very welcome to our audience. I'd like to roll around the table, introduce our very capable staff of high-flying pilots, starting with my co-host, my former instructor, Joel the Wiener. Wiener, good morning.
Good morning, Jack. Glad to be here.
It's good to see you, too, and it's another beautiful day.
It's a cool day here in Florida, and it's, 70 degrees in the morning.
You going to be doing some flying following today's show?
Yeah, we're going to go out and see who's on the beach and do a little waving, maybe tow a flag or two.
Well, it's good to see you again. Welcome aboard. Also live from Minnesota, Minneapolis, in fact, is our commercial airline pilot, former naval aviator Garfield Benson. Good morning, Gar.
Good morning, Jack. Nice to be with you again. My last day on the telephone, be in the studio next month with High Flying with Jack O'Brien, and be there in person. Looking forward to it.
Well, we're all sitting here with sitting on needles waiting for that moment for you to show up here in the High-Flying First Coast Honda Dealers Studio. Also, Bill Stull's here with us.
Good morning, Jack.
Hello, Bill. Bill's a commercial pilot. We'll be telling some Bill Stull flying tales today on the High-Flying Show.
All lies.
So what I want you to do, Bill, is to come up with a couple. Also, Bill, you've also been delegated to give us our meteorological report for general aviation pilots this morning. Fire away.
Dude, just look outside. It's beautiful, beautiful day. The winds are calm. The temperature and the dew point are pretty much the same thing. It's about 70 degrees, like Joel said.
Well,
it's
if the temperature and the dew point are about the same,
about the same isn't the same as being the same. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Yes,
it's not the same.
I do.
Okay.
But how far apart is not
one
the same?
1 degree.
Well, that means it's foggy out there.
No, it doesn't.
No? I guess I have not read my latest meteorological weather instruction manual. Doesn't it say when the temperature and the dew point are close together, it's foggy and misty outside?
You are implying a causation. What happens is you can only have fog when the two are together. But if the two are together, it doesn't necessarily mean fog.
That's much like a marriage. Okay, and another skillful pilot who used to be an air traffic controller for over 30 years.
I'm back. I was in air traffic control last week.
Yes, where?
Reno.
Oh, you were ATC. Nevada. We'll talk about the Reno thing, too. Bob Cam is with us this morning. Good morning to you, Bob.
I'm great. How are you doing, Jack?
I'm doing great. It's another good morning here at the High Flying Show.
Right.
Today,
this is why we fly today, on days like today.
It is a beautiful day. It's really nice.
I'm tired
cool.
of the thunderstorms.
Are you?
Oh, my gosh. I'm just tired of dodging thunderstorms.
Those afternoon summertime thunderstorms have come to an end.
Bill loves flying through around the thunderstorms.
Around them, yes, sir. Yeah. Thank you very much.
I do not like doing that. Bill likes doing it.
I was reading where a commercial pilot flew over Hurricane, what's the one out in the middle of the Atlantic? that just bashed Puerto Rico.
Fiona.
Have you ever flown over a hurricane, Joel?
I don't have enough power to get up that high.
Because you'd have to be up about 35, 40,000 feet, wouldn't you?
50.
Yeah.
That's Gulfstream territory.
All right, today we're going to learn about an interesting thing that happened in a commercial airline situation. A pilot, despite leaving the gate and taxiing to the runway, decided to turn around and return to the gate. You know why?
Because they couldn't get along with each other.
He forgot a family member?
Yes, there actually not wasn't a family member. There was a man and his daughter who had lost their passports. And after the plane departed and left the gate, they found them. Well, for some reason, the pilot took a little mercy on him and turned the plane around and picked him up. We're going to talk to Garfield Benson about that a little later.
It usually doesn't happen. That's nice of him.
No. John Nafak with Ascent Aviation, the chief flight instructor with our official flight instructor sponsor, Ascent Aviation, will be here this morning with our student pilot of the month. His name is Christopher Moore, and we'll speak to Christopher about his activities at Ascent Aviation. And we're going to get some training and safety tips from Bob Cam, Joel Wiener, and Bill Stull about flying into what we call dark airports, all today here on the High Flying Show. It's good to be here, and as I pull up my notes, I did want to go ahead and remind you again that we just finished the end of summer, which meant the fall equinox was this past week. We talked about the fact that a pilot turned around and picked up a father and a daughter. We'll talk about that in a few minutes, but let's switch to Reno. You guys were out in Reno for a few days, yes?
I was there for the entire event.
Let's talk about it.
9 days, it was long, and I don't know why anybody would live in Reno.
Well, because it's real close to slot machines.
Well, I guess.
A bunch of Reno haters is what it is.
Drove over to Tahoe just to get away for a day.
We are lucky to be living in Florida, to be honest with you. It was just, oof.
Now, Tahoe's pretty cool.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, Tahoe's beautiful.
But you got to get there.
Yeah. And I know, I've been to Reno before, and Reno's just a stop before you go to Tahoe, usually, where you fly in.
But there are people living there. But we were there for the air races. I was there 9 days. Joel came out for about 5 days.
Now, there was an incident. An L-29 pilot, a guy by the name of Aaron Hoag, was killed Sunday during the Jet Gold Race. Tell me about that.
Well, there's been a lot of discussions about that, being in a tower and watching something like that. I think all week long, I don't think whenever you watch the Reno air races on TV or on YouTube or watch that, the thing that surprised me was the number of people in the tower during the event. It's packed because there's spotters. There's the air boss, the scheduler, the mini boss. There's the three air traffic controllers. There's each class of jet or aircraft has a rep up there. So they're all watching the entire race, and it can be pretty loud and pretty chaotic. And so the whole week was going by. It was kind of a culture shock because air traffic in the classic sense doesn't necessarily exist in Reno. Yeah, you're clearing people to land, but you're talking too much. You're giving too much information. You're not talking enough. It was really weird from an air traffic perspective. But in the second to last race, a guy pulled too many G's and that was pretty.
We assume that's what he did.
Well, I don't think there's anybody who thinks otherwise.
I agree with you.
I would say the consensus among everybody watching was that he blacked out. Simply as that. He pulled too many G's, blacked out, and that was the ball game.
Now, that stops the show for the day, obviously.
Well, here's what happens. Oh, there's two fire guys in the tower as well. So there's about 15 people. And they immediately assume control of the airfield. They roll every piece of equipment on the planet out there. He crashed on the far end of the race course, which was about 4 miles away from where we were. And once that happens, the event stops until such time as they get every rescue equipment, because a lot of the firefighters and such are not certified to fly or drive on the airport. They don't do the training for that. So they basically assume it, say the airport no longer, quote, exists until get all the firefighters off the property. And and that kind of they can resume normal operation. Well, that wasn't going to happen anytime soon, and they pretty much canceled the rest of the event, essentially, because it was on the last day anyways.
Now, why were you there again? To be the part of the ATC crew?
Correct.
But so why are you there? I mean, you're retired. You're a has-been with ATC.
Yeah, I am a has-been. So you're right.
Why
like,
are
you've
they
been
asking,
a has-been in a radio.
Yes, I am.
And Garza has been in the airline industry.
Yes,
and,
he is. But why?
Because
yeah.
he's
with
famous.
All due respect, don't they have younger guys they can go with
no,
that are a little sharper,
okay, so,
a little bit more in, with more intellect?
The airport is normally not a control towered airport. So they have to have somebody there managing and doing air traffic. So they contract out to people to do this. And that's where I come into play. A friend of mine who started an air traffic business to do special events. For example, Super Bowl ground control or at an airport. Or, like, for example, the Auburn does not have a control tower, but during a football game, they might have a control tower there. So the airport will contract out a control tower for that particular weekend. Same place as for the Reno Air races. There'll be a contractor, and that's how I got involved.
Now, I presume you're paid for this.
You get a couple bucks. It's not a lot, but, you know,
They put you up and feed you.
Correct,
and all that jazz.
Yeah. And I bet on the Jags last week and won. Can you believe it? That was a gutsy call on my part.
If you say so.
Yeah, I'm not a big gambler, so it was like, I'll rather watch people lose money than to lose it myself. So.
Now, Joe, what were you doing out there? Were you just a spectator or were you working?
A spectator. I was doing some video for the Florida Aviation Network.
Yeah.
And we did some interviews with some racers. I was in the jet pits when the incident occurred, which is about 200 yards in front of where the tower is.
Yeah.
And you could hear the crowd gasp, and it got really quiet.
Well, it's a terrible thing. It's a horrific thing to have happen, no matter where it is. And this is a skilled jet pilot, right?
Yes.
And this cat has done this many times before.
It's not his first race.
Right. He was rookie of the year last year.
How do they work these races? They go around pylons. How does that work? They have, like, these big balloons in the air or what?
Well, yeah, that is.
Bob can explain this.
I got a tour out to the pylon. So now there's every class of airplane, whether you're running a sport class or you're running the jet class or the biplane class, has a length of race course. So the jets have the largest race course, and it's about 8.5 miles long. And there's pylons. It's basically a pole with what looks like a big 55-gallon drum on top of the pole that's empty. And there are five judges on every pylon that can look up and determine whether or not the aircraft cut the pylon short or if it goes around it. And they all have to concur whether or not they cut or not in order to ding them for the error.
Is the start of one of these things like a sailboat race where all these, you know, sailboat races start where the boats kind of congregate near the starting line? Part of the skill is being near that starting line when it actually starts at a certain time.
What happens?
Is it comparable to that?
What they'll do is they'll take they'll have a same kind of airplane, a jet, and we'll use jets as an example, and it'll be the pace jet. And so everybody does a formation on the pace jet, and then he flies around, and he comes toward the start-finish line. If he's happy with the line, if they're all sitting in a straight line, then he'll pull away and go, gentlemen, you have a race, and then it's off, and off you go. So it's kind of a flying start in a sense, and they're all line abreast. So that's how that start is.
Is this something that you will return to do again next year? Are you interested in that at all?
It was interesting. It's unlike any other event I've ever done. Joel was out there for 5 days, and he mentioned to me he was ready to go after three.
Reno's a beautiful city, yes.
Oh, sure, we'll go with that.
Yeah, that's it.
But it was would I do it again? Yeah, I'd do it again, but it's not like Oshkosh or Sun and Fun, which are you have so much to do you can't see it all. You could see this in about a day, and so if you're into racing, then you go for that.
Okay,
it was cool to walk through the pits and actually see the mechanics working on the airplanes,
right?
And
yeah,
be able to talk to them. And
these are all jets that are flying in these races.
We've got all kinds of airplanes.
Oh, yeah?
You've got jets. You've got radial engines. You've got P-51s,
right.
And then you've got the experimental class, which is a little bit of everything.
Yeah, they had about seven different types of classes of aircraft doing races. So it's kind of – and they just – the stall drag, short takeoff and landing
right.
drag race, which if you've ever seen before is the most bizarre-looking flying thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be all around the country. So very, very fascinating.
Well, I read a lot more. You see more about STOL type of airplane.
Correct.
So
yeah.
it's coming on. All right, it's 9:13 here on the High Flying Show. Today's show, again, sponsored by your First Coast Honda Dealer Group. There are 8 Honda dealerships here in the northern Florida area. And if you're in the market for an automobile, whether it's a car, truck, van, or a Paw Mobile, like I drive, the Honda Odyssey, we highly recommend your Honda dealer. Also, Joel Wiener is the owner-operator of a company called Beach Banners. And if you're up and down the beach or in any heavily populated area, such as a football stadium or maybe the St. John's Town Center at Christmas time, you'll see these planes flying over with these banners. And Joel is responsible for those banners, and he has many people who use them for personal messages, such as, will you marry me or happy anniversary? But the vast majority of your business, I would believe, is commercial, right?
Right, commercial. Most of our stuff is between spring break and Labor Day.
Yeah.
We do a little bit around the Jaguar games, Gator games, FSU games.
Yeah.
We'll do a little there.
You fly down
well.
To Gainesville, so you do go down to Gainesville.
Yes.
Do you go to Tallahassee as well?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I see. And business is good in the beach banner
it's
world.
It's been really good.
I've been sitting on my balcony at the beach. I've watched his planes fly by, and the pilots of those planes are specially skilled and trained by you.
Correct.
Right? Is there anybody else that trains your banner pilots?
No, I train mine here. There's another school in Daytona, and then there's one in Miami that also trains.
Would you say that banner flying is one of the more difficult types of flying?
It is. You have to fly the airplane to the point. There's no second chances in aviation.
Yeah.
So.
Is it similar to crop dusting flying, Joel? Because it's low flying, attitudes are really abrupt.
We pick the banner up, and then we're at altitude. Where crop dusting is, you're down in the weeds.
Yeah,
that's what we call it. We're down in the weeds for the whole field length. So,
what is the maximum altitude you'll go up in with a banner these days?
We fly the banners at 1,000 feet.
Uh huh. So it's relatively
and
easy.
And out over the beach, we'll be down at 500.
Yeah. Okay. All right, 9:16, when we return to the High Flying Show, we're going to tell you a little bit about a man who flies more than Bob Cam, and he does it with only one eye, and we're going to hear some Bill Stull aviation tall tales coming up right after these messages. Thank you for listening.
This is Lisa in the forward cabin. Please be sure your seat is in your seat. We will return to High Flying with Jack O'Brien right after these words.
It's not an easy job being a scholar athlete and doing well at both. That's why 1010XL salutes the Scholar Athlete of the Week.
Wednesdays on The Franchi Show, brought to you by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists and the Plumbers and Pipefitters Local Union 234.
Honda continues to impress with their new lineup this year. Don't settle for less when the best is just minutes away. We invite you to visit your local Honda dealer and see the vehicles everyone is talking about. Remember, only a Honda is a Honda. Come see us. We're dealing.
Fall is finally here, and the Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant reminds you that after today's high-flying show, head for the Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant for their delicious Sunday brunch. You won't find a better way to get your high-flying day going. Since you're at the beach, head upstairs to the penthouse lounge, where you can sit over the ocean and enjoy a cool cocktail. For a casual day at the beach or to schedule a family event, we recommend the Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant, the official hotel sponsor of the High Flying Show, First Street, Jacksonville Beach.
Hey, High Flying fans, Eddie the Moocher here from Angie Subs. You ever driven by Angie Subs and wonder why there's so many cars in the parking lot? Yeah? Yeah? Well, let me tell you why. It's because our oven-baked subs are so dang delicious. Our Peruvian sub, you've heard of it. We sell over 200 of those jokers every day. Pro tip, order it on onion roll and ask for it crunchy. And our fries, Jeff Vlogeman says they're the best. And he's had fries in 47 states. It's true. He keeps a journal. Angie Subs, near the intersection of Beach Boulevard and Pinman. Lunch and dinner. Where all the cars are.
Jack O'Brien and the Wiener.
Special thanks to Aircraft General Supply, the area's most well-known general store for aviation parts. If you're a pilot, then you know that getting your parts at Aircraft General Supply takes no time, usually just a quick call to Ronnie, who can get you what you need quickly. And they're home to the Pilot Shop, which is loaded with hundreds of items pilots use, from aeronautical charts to airport directories. Aircraft General Supply, find them online at aircraftgeneralsupply.com.
Attention golfers, Hidden Hills Golf Club has become an attractive destination for golfers all over North Florida. You too will enjoy our classic Arnold Palmer design that'll test your game and keep you coming back. Book a tee time today at HiddenHillsGC.com.
This 1010XL 92.5 FM hour is powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 904-600-4000. That's 904-600-4000.
Now let's return to the High Flyin' Show with Jack O'Brien and the Wiener. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
High Flyin' with Jack O'Brien and the Wiener.
Back on the High Flying Show with Garfield Benson, our former naval aviator, Bob Kam, our former air traffic controller, now a commercial pilot and a certified flight instructor. To his left is Bill Stahl. We're going to speak with Bill in scant seconds about some of his tales and his flying tales. Then there's John Nafak, who just arrived, the head of flight instruction at Ascent Aviation. John brought his student pilot of the month. Kick that music up just a little bit for me, will you please? Turn that level up. All right. And Christopher Moore's here. Christopher Moore soloed for the first time this morning. That's always exciting. We're going to speak to you in just a few minutes. And Joel Wiener, my co-host and former instructor. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the High Flying Show. Hey, how many times have I told you guys there's a store on the west side that sells furniture and grocery items? Probably shared that with you a number of times. The name Costco of the store is Victor's Payless. And once again, Victor has come to the rescue. In this case, it was my son this week who's in need of some furniture. His house suffered a fire recently, and they are now refurbishing their home. And I said, if you don't go see Victor at Victor's Payless and look at what they have in that showroom, then you're crazy. As it turned out, he went over there and he got a bed and a table and a this and a that. But he told me he would have spent three times as much in a regular big box furniture store. So no, it's not fancy, but Victor's Payless is a store we here at the High Flying Show highly recommend. They're located on the west side on San Juan, 6612 San Juan Avenue. And that's a nice little plug there for him, so I wanted to give him a little love this morning. Victor does a really nice job with taking care of people who need furniture or other stuff, too. Bill Stahl, been on our show since 2014. We are in our 96th edition of the High Flying Show, and I believe you've been at all of them.
Present for most of these.
I would guess you have. We don't spend a lot of time talking to Bill Stahl because he, quite honestly, likes to maintain a low profile.
He has nothing to say. Yeah. He's too busy flying.
But Bill, you
I'm
do
sorry
do
I missed a, last month. I was busy flying.
You weren't here last month?
That's right.
Oh, we didn't notice.
The 95th episode.
I'm just kidding. That's a little humor there. Tell us what you've been doing. You've been going down to Marsh Island?
Marsh Harbor. Great Abaco in the Bahamas.
And what is the point of doing all that? What do? You go pick up somebody and take them to vacation? What is all that about?
I do love delivering passengers to their vacation destinations. This is fantastic.
And how often do you fly down there?
This is now my third weekend in a row, and I've probably made the trip about 10 times.
When you go down there, do they put you up in a hotel and do you stick around and vacate with them, or do you fly back and then go back and get them?
Unfortunately, I turn around and head back within about 45 to 60 minutes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And how long is the flight time? Do you fly from Jacksonville or do you fly from southern Florida?
We fly right out of Jacksonville most of the time. There have been some exceptions to that, but typically right out of Jacksonville, it's about a two-hour ride.
Yeah. Do you have, as far as your situation taking somebody down there, obviously one of the main things you're looking at is weather, because you're flying over water. Tell me about the precautions you take flying over water.
Well, we have, I typically will fly a twin-engine aircraft down there, so you have a little redundancy with the engines, but that's not mandatory.
What does that mean, you have a little redundancy with the engines?
I have two engines, so, you know, if one decides to give me a hard time, I can just yell back at it and it will stop giving me a hard time.
Yeah.
And if it persists, then I just tell it, you know, that's fine. That's it for you. And I give all my love to the other engine instead.
Have you ever flown over there with just one engine?
I have, actually.
I know you have.
Yes, I have.
Why did that happen?
Because we set out with that at the beginning. That was before I had my multi-engine rating, so I couldn't run both of them.
Because the plane only had one engine.
So if you have you're a commercial pilot and you get a twin engine plane, but you do not have a multi-engine rating? And you're flying a plane with two engines?
No. See, that whole time traveling thing's just not working out.
Well, see, you're
yet.
Not making yourself clear. Let's. You're getting in the plane. You have a multi-engine rating. That means you can fly a plane with two engines.
Correct.
Isn't that right? All right.
Multiple engines.
Yes, multiple. You, two or three or four or five?
17.
Okay.
Yes,
17. So, and how long have you been had a multi-engine rating?
Since last September.
Okay.
I was gonna say, right at a year.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And is that the extent? Do you exclusively fly twin-engine planes?
It has started to kind of become that way.
Yeah.
No, we're still about 60-40, 70-30%.
When's the last time you flew in a 150, a Cessna 150?
Ooh. Years.
Has it been that long?
It's been years.
A 172?
6 months.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. So, again, the vast majority.
He's too good to fly a little airplane.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Highbrow does not come close to describing what's going on here, by the way.
I only fly twin-engine airplanes, and I don't lower myself to fly 152.
There's a certain amount of jealousy that's going on in this room, right?
Because I fly every day.
Well, he
sorry.
Does.
Am I throwing a lot of shade on this one?
Yeah.
No,
I'm sorry.
Is this
no,
kind
shade's
of,
not the word I would choose to use in this case.
Is this kind of your current game plan right now? Is this what you're going to be doing for the time being?
Do you have a game plan?
That's where I was going.
Well, you know, I have a broker. I have a...
The plane's broken?
An agent.
A broker. I have an agent. And there's this gentleman that finds these jobs for me.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Kind of like an agent.
Yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. kind of like an agent.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. I mean, do you have an agent, Bob? Or
I do have an agent.
You
Bob
do?
Has been kicked out of multiple agencies.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't doubt
currently
that.
Currently, my agent doesn't like me, so he doesn't really throw me a lot of work because I'm busy at Reno and stuff.
And even
though I took my agent, let him stay with me
that's
in Reno.
What it is.
Yeah.
Now, Joel,
yeah.
you don't need an agent. You're,
oh, I have several agents.
You do?
He does not have an agent. Are you kidding
I have
me,
multiple airplane owners that need pilots.
Yeah, but that's not an agent.
We're getting there.
Do you ever take, like, if you're already busy and one of your multiple owners calls you and needs to go somewhere, do you feed these guys that business? Or do you give
yes.
it? Yes.
Yes?
Is that how it works?
I may be the agent.
Ah, then you get a piece.
Something like that.
Yeah.
We bring him back pies from the marathon. Yeah.
Or conch from the Bahamas.
Yeah.
We do not bring conch back from the Bahamas.
I don't think that's legal to bring.
Is that not legal?
We don't bring back any fruits or vegetables.
No, that's
or
right.
Insects.
That is not. Okay, so here's
we
the
bring
thing.
Back no radioactive materials.
You take a lunch to the
what?
Bahamas.
Oh, this is a good story right here.
So Joel and I go to the Bahamas. We're going to. Flying and eating are not. They don't work well with each other. For whatever reason, I'm on a crazy diet. And so you go to the Bahamas. Joel brings a sandwich.
I made it in the morning myself.
Correct.
From Publix.
What kind of sandwich?
It was a turkey.
Turkey sandwich.
He loves turkey and cheese and some. Anyway, we go there, and then we go to Fort Lauderdale to clear customs. Well, the guy walks around. If you've ever cleared customs, not like at a terminal, but at an airport, and the guy walks around with a Geiger counter checking to make sure your plane isn't radioactive. Meanwhile, we're inside going through the passport stuff that we make sure you don't forget and all mm-hmm. that stuff. And he comes back in. He says to Joel, he goes, you got your sandwich in there, your lunch. And I'm like, haha, yeah, right, huh? Yeah, what kind of sandwich is it? And we're like, the guy's trying to steal our sandwich.
Yeah, I thought he wanted my sandwich.
It was really friendly stuff. And Joel goes, what's a turkey sandwich? You know, and we're kind of joking around. Goes, you need to bring that in so we can look at it. I'm like, this guy's going to steal our sandwich.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out you cannot bring stuff like that from out of country without it being confiscated. Fruits, vegetables.
Because it could be radioactive.
Your sandwich.
Yeah. Sandwich. If it was roast beef, oh, my gosh. You know, they have to destroy it right then and there. Yeah. If corporate jets come from the Bahamas and they have a big catering plate and they have to destroy the whole thing.
How do they destroy it? Chomp, chomp.
They burn it.
Mm, they eat it.
Incinerator.
Right. And this was a good story.
Well, I was shocked because we're talking about a sandwich.
And thanks to the
welcome
back
to
the hashtag Fly with Bill portion of the show.
That's right. I want to get back to
it's all about
with
you.
Bill Stone.
Yeah.
Well, like I said,
but I mean it was very interesting. So.
It's not. A sandwich is not interesting. Now, Bill, what are your plans? Do you have anything in the future?
Dude, this is
or are
fantastic.
You just going to be standing pat as we
this
say?
Is fantastic. I'm loving flying people to the Bahamas and flying cargo to the Bahamas.
All
I
right.
I bring relief materials down there. Joel and I, several years ago, right after one of the hurricanes, we brought 500 sandwiches down there, courtesy of Firehouse Subs.
Were they radioactive sandwiches?
Of course not.
3 years ago this week, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty. It was in September.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't burn the sandwiches either.
No, they were grateful to have it.
We handed them out.
Every time I get an opportunity to fly down there, I try to bring a little something down there to try to make the lives a little bit better.
Do you aspire to buy a plane?
Negative, sir. No.
No interest in doing that.
Nope.
Bob, do you aspire to
buy a plane? No, because there's no place to put a plane.
Yeah.
There's no, you got to hangar it, and there's no place to hangar an airplane.
Okay. Thank you, Bill, for the tall tales of going to Marsh Harbor.
Marsh Harbor.
And where exactly is that? That's in the Bahamas.
Great Abaco Island, I believe. Is that correct there, Mr. Joel? Joel's my Bahamas expert. Yes, agent. Great Abaco Island in the Bahamas. It's fantastic.
Yeah, okay. That island has three airports. You've got Treasure Cay, Marsh Harbor, and Sandy Point.
And the water there is so beautiful.
How long are those runways in those airports?
6,000 feet.
Okay, so they're decent length.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. 9:30, this is the High Flying Show. I'm Jack O'Brien, Joel Wiener, Bill Stull, Bob Kam, John Nafak. We have special guest in the studio this morning, Manny Cuevas. Is here this morning. Manny won, or his dad did. Remember, we gave away an iFly thing over there by Topgolf a couple of months ago?
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, Manny's father won it, and Manny somehow got his paws on it, hasn't used it yet, and we kind of want to get a story from him on that when he does use it. But he's interested in aviation, and he's here this morning watching the High Flying Show. He's a student out at Baldwin High, yes, and it's good to have him here. And also Christopher Moore is here, a student pilot of the month, from Ascent Aviation. Garfield Benson's going to be coming up next. We're going to talk about that pilot who returned back to the ramp to pick up a passenger who found their passport. So I think that'll be an interesting story. We'll bring Garfield Benson up next. This is the High Flying Show.
This is Lisa in the forward cabin. We will not be serving an in-flight meal today, as I've seen our passengers, and they can skip a few meals. We will return to High Flying with Jack O'Brien right after these words.
Start your Sunday off with a cup of Joe and some sports medicine intel. This is Joe C. inviting you to join me and Dr. George Barry for Breaking Bones every Sunday morning at 7:30. And if you miss an episode, just look for Breaking Bones wherever you listen to podcasts.
Honda continues to impress with their new lineup this year. Don't settle for less when the best is just minutes away. We invite you to visit your local Honda dealer and see the vehicles everyone is talking about. Remember, only a Honda is a Honda. Come see us. We're dealing.
If golf is your thing, you might want to check out Hidden Hills Golf Club. At Hidden Hills, we simply love the game, and we take great care of our golfing friends. Check us out at HiddenHillsGC.com. You'll be glad you did.
If you're a regular High Flying Show listener, then you know how much we like Aircraft General Supply, home of the Pilot Shop, the general store for all of your aircraft needs, located on St. John's Bluff on the Jacksonville South Side near Craig Field. Local pilots count on Aircraft General Supply for what they need and have been for over 20 years. No matter the part or the item you need, Aircraft General Supply most likely has it. Aircraft General Supply, St. John's Bluff, online at aircraftgeneralsupply.com.
High Flying
with Jack O'Brien.
Hey, High Flying fans. Did you know that Angie Subs has been a staple in the Jacksonville community for almost 40 years? You know why? Because Angie's loves the people of Jacksonville, and the people of Jacksonville love us back. Everybody loves a Peruvian, but the next time you come in, I want you to try something different. The Dr. Bang. Dr. Bang is an Italian sub with ham and capicola, provolone cheese, and mayonnaise baked in the oven. Then we top it with our world-famous chicken salad. We sell a stupid amount of chicken salad. Angie's Subs, near the intersection of Beach Boulevard and Penman. Lunch and dinner. Where all the cars are.
Fall is finally here, and the Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant reminds you that after today's high-flying show, head for the Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant for their delicious Sunday brunch. You won't find a better way to get your high-flying day going. Since you're at the beach, head upstairs to the penthouse lounge, where you can sit over the ocean and enjoy a cool cocktail. For a casual day at the beach or to schedule a family event, we recommend the Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant, the official hotel sponsor of the High Flying Show, First Street, Jacksonville Beach.
What's the only bone in your body that isn't attached to another bone? The answer next.
With hurricane season now here, the only weather you need to be concerned about is whether your homeowner's insurance policy will cover you in the event of storm damage. Ask about Southern Oak Insurance today.
Our family protecting yours, Southern Oak Insurance.
The only bone that's unattached to other bones is the hyoid bone, which is only there to anchor your tongue.
Southern Oak Insurance.
Our family protecting yours.
This 1010 XL 92.5 FM hour is powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 904-600-4000. That's 904-600-4000.
Now let's return to the High Flying Show with Jack O'Brien and the Wiener. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
High Flying with Jack O'Brien and the Wiener.
Welcome back to the High Flying Show. Paul Simon, you can call me Al.
A man walks down the street, he says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I
you
soft?
You like this song, Bob?
No, I really actually don't.
So not a Paul Simon guy. I like this song.
Can we change it? Can we change the channel, Jack?
Reno, Paul Simon.
Hang up and redial.
Where does Jack O'Brien and his lovely wife, Leslie, go on a cool Sunday afternoon after the High Flying Show?
Mark
where?
Harbor in the
where?
With Bill?
No.
Jekyll Island?
No, Jekyll not Jekyll Island. Where?
I got a feeling you're probably going to go out to Jack's Beach.
Yes, where at Jack's Beach?
At the Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant.
Well, he is a sharp tack, isn't he?
And you're going to sit on the third floor and have a cocktail and watch the airplanes fly by.
A cocktail?
A cocktail.
Yes, the Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant, Jacksonville Beach, our longtime sponsor, again with Sunday brunch, starting up in just a few minutes.
And jealous every weekend.
And tell you what, going to that third floor penthouse is pretty nice out there. And if you haven't experienced it, hey, we suggest you frequent the Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant. All right, let's bring up Garfield Benson. Gar is a former naval aviator and a former commercial airline pilot with Northwest Airlines. Good morning to you, Gar. How you doing?
Doing fine, Jack. Thank you very much.
How's life treating you in Minnesota?
Oh, it's been treating me very nicely. It's cooled off here considerably. We had we went 116 days without the temperature going below 70 degrees during the day, and we went below. We had a couple days in the 60s here during the day, which is kind of chilly.
Well, I'll say, and it's probably starting to cool off quite a bit up there now, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely is. Fall is on the way. The leaves are starting to turn a little bit, and fall is definitely here. It's time for me to head south to Florida.
All right. Well, we look forward to having you back. By the way, the High Flying Show will not be on the air in October. We are kind of up against all odds with the Jaguars football schedule, but we will return in November. That's why sometimes I cluster some shows. We do a couple of months sometimes.
I was really hoping you'd tell Gar that he was going to have a show next month and him show up and nobody be here.
Oh, well, I don't think Gar is going to fall for that, since I've already just spilled the beans.
Well, he was all excited to come next month.
Show then.
I didn't hear you. What, Gar?
I said I knew there wasn't going to be a show next month because I heard that by the pipeline, I think probably last month.
That's right. I take care of you guys. I get you information. It's kind of like Information Jacko. You've heard of Information Whiskey and Information Charlie. Well, this is Information Jacko. And telling you we'll not be here in October. In fact, October is a great month for me. I'll be celebrating my 70th birthday with a nice long mountain trip.
To Marsh Harbor in the Bahamas? Please.
No, not Marsh Harbor.
There's no mountains down there, Bob.
Hey, Gar, a pilot turned his plane around on the runway to go back and pick up a father and his daughter who missed the flight. They lost their passport and later on found their passport. Now, this was a TUI flight from Tenerife in the Canary Islands to the East Midlands Airport. Now, they found the pass. Would you ever do that? You're already out there ready to take off, and they radio you and say, Pilot Garfield Benson, a passenger just found their passport, and they would like to get on the plane. Would you turn around and go back and get them?
Absolutely, Jack. That's one of the things you do. There are personalities in every business, and there are some guys who would say, no, we're taking off, forget them. In my case, I would be very happy to go back and pick them up. It's no skin off my nose to do that. And the thing about it is, with any kind of evolution, when you're dealing with people, it's the personalities that are dealing with those nice traveling people that make a difference to them. If, for instance, if an agent is really nice to you, you remember that. or if they go out of their way for you to get you on a flight or something, you'll remember that. There are other people that had a bad day, and they won't give you the time of day. Now, it takes a little bit of coordination to get that done. The passengers came back to the gate. Hey, we found our passports. Is there any chance of us getting on this airplane? The agent calls downstairs to operations, and they say, hey, get a hold of the airplane and see if they'll come back and pick up the passengers we've got here. Operations calls the aircraft. The captain says, okay, I guess we can do that. We'll come back, pick you up. They go back to the gate, load the people up, and they go on their way. Now, that's personalities involved that would do that, and that's the way it should be done to compliment people. Then, of course, you've got 400 people back there, and everybody's got to make a connection somewhere. Then that runs through your mind, too. Am I going to inconvenience anybody on the down inside by doing this? So there's a lot of factors involved in just how you think about it in your head as to how you're going to operate or take care of this problem, whether you're going to be doing this for folks or not. You know, I got an interesting story. My wife and I were in Orlando, and we were coming back to Minneapolis. We came to the gate, and the agent had already shut the door. And can't you put us on? No, she wouldn't put us on. The gate shut. She wouldn't go up there. So there's the personality I'm talking about. The jetway still to the airplane. She could have gone down there and let us on, but she didn't. So I walk up to the window, and I look in the cockpit. As you know, you can see it from the gate. And I saw the pilot, or the captain. I knew the captain. So I gave him a big high sign, and hi, and I said, pointed myself and pointed the airplane. And he knew what I was meant. Pretty soon, the agent at podium hears, I hear the phone ring over there, and she picks it up, and she scowls and says, I guess. And so she opened the jetway door. They pulled the aircraft back to the gate. We walked down. They put us on the airplane, and we went. So that's the thing, you know, it's the personalities involved that make the flight, and that's just one example.
Well, it's not what you know. It's who you know. And right. No, but well, that's a good story, Gar, and I get it. And I see, but I would think your 400 passengers, which that's obviously an embellished number, even if it's 100, there's going to be a few people that might be in jeopardy of missing a connection if you decide to turn back and run back and pick somebody up. But I would think that overall, if their circumstances are okay, that you go back and do that. I think it speaks very highly of the airline industry being willing to do that.
Well, I should hope so. And in some cases, the people aren't flexible enough to do that. Now, Jack, on the 747-400, we did carry 400 people, and that was in my mind as I made that statement that when I'm flying from A to B, I have to divert or something. I'm thinking about those 400 people back there and how many people I'm going to inconvenience if I make this decision or if I make that decision. So that is worked into the thought process when this happens, believe me.
Now, Gard, there's another story coming up in October. American Airlines plans to return a flight out of L.A. This is coming up Wednesday, October 26th. A positioning flight to start services out of Sydney a few days later. It'll push back from LAX at October 26. It's a 14-hour and 50-minute trek down to Sydney, landing basically after you pass the international dateline 2 days later. They'll deploy a Boeing 787 Dreamliner on this. That's a pretty long flight. Is that like a world record there?
No, not at all. That 787 is a great airplane produced by Boeing, and it is made to fly long distances. A couple of derivatives of the aircraft that have come up, like the 787-200. I mean, I've seen flight plans where they could fly at 18 hours. So we're talking about an aircraft that can fly, be in the air a long time, and L.A. Sydney is not a big deal. United Airlines has been doing it for numerous years. They have 787s, and they fly it. I don't know if they fly it daily. I would suspect they would. I did hear from my United 787 co-pilot friend that American was coming back into the business and will be departing just before or just after United's flight that goes to Sydney every day.
When is your return to Jacksonville, Gar? Have you already got that scheduled?
Yeah, we're coming down October the 12th. We'll be there the 12th and ensconced back to our little home on Masters Ridge Drive. Happy to be back for the winter.
And there was a little party next door to your place last night. I'm sorry about that window. Hey, listen, Gar, we look forward to seeing you when you return to Jacksonville. And thanks for your input on those two subjects here on the High Flying Show. It's 9:45. This is Jack O'Brien with Bob Cam, Bill Stull, Joel Wiener, and John Nafak coming up next with our Student Pilot of the Month. This is the High Flying Show. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
This is Lisa in the forward cabin. Please place all your electrical devices in my hand as I walk through the main compartment. No, you can't have them back. Thank you. We will return to High Flying with Jack O'Brien right after these words.
Start your Sunday off with a cup of Joe and some sports medicine intel. This is Joe C. inviting you to join me and Dr. George Barry for Breaking Bones every Sunday morning at 7:30. And if you miss an episode, just look for Breaking Bones wherever you listen to podcasts.
Honda continues to impress with their new lineup this year. Don't settle for less when the best is just minutes away. We invite you to visit your local Honda dealer and see the vehicles everyone is talking about. Remember, only a Honda is a Honda. Come see us. We're dealing.
Fall is finally here, and the Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant reminds you that after today's high-flying show, head for the Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant for their delicious Sunday brunch. You won't find a better way to get your high-flying day going. Since you're at the beach, head upstairs to the penthouse lounge, where you can sit over the ocean and enjoy a cool cocktail. For a casual day at the beach or to schedule a family event, we recommend the Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant, the official hotel sponsor of the High Flying Show. First Street, Jacksonville Beach.
What is the only NFL team to defeat the Pittsburgh Steelers twice in the same season at Heinz Field?
It's always a good idea to compare homeowners insurance rates instead of renewing year in and year out. Log on to SouthernOak.com and get an instant quote in minutes.
Our family protecting yours, Southern Oak.
The Jacksonville Jaguars are the only NFL team to beat the Steelers twice at Heinz Field in the same season, and they've done it twice.
Southern Oak Insurance, our family protecting yours.
Good morning, this is the captain. You are high flying with Jack O'Brien.
Hey, high flying fans, Eddie the Moocher here from Angie Subs. You ever driven by Angie Subs and wonder why there's so many cars in the parking lot? Yeah? Yeah? Well, let me tell you why. It's because our oven-baked subs are so dang delicious. Our Peruvian sub, you've heard of it. We sell over 200 of those jokers every day. Pro tip, order it on onion roll and ask for it crunchy. And our fries, Jeff Loggeman says they're the best, and he's had fries in 47 states. It's true. He keeps a journal. Angie Subs, near the intersection of Beach Boulevard and Pinman, lunch and dinner, where all the cars are.
Special thanks to Aircraft General Supply, the area's most well-known general store for aviation parts. If you're a pilot, then you know that getting your parts at Aircraft General Supply takes no time, usually just a quick call to Ronnie, who can get you what you need quickly. And they're home to the Pilot Shop, which is loaded with hundreds of items pilots use, from aeronautical charts to airport directories. Aircraft General Supply, find them online at aircraftgeneralsupply.com.
The game of golf has never been more popular, and Hidden Hills Golf Club wants to help you make golf your thing and love the game as much as we do. Golf instruction is available, and Hidden Hills boasts a warm and welcoming atmosphere. Visit us at HiddenHillsGC.com.
This 1010 XL 92.5 FM hour is powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 904-600-4000. That's 904-600-4000.
Now, let's return to the High Flying Show with Jack O'Brien and the Wiener. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
High Flying with Jack O'Brien and the Wiener.
Welcome back to the High Flying Show here on this Sunday, September 25th. We are now in the fall time of year. Temperatures coming down just a little bit. Next week should be a little bit cooler. We do have a storm possibly coming in our area.
Storm a brewing.
Yes, it is. Keep your eyes and ears open, ladies and gentlemen. It's that time of the year. And we are now introducing one of our favorite guests on the High Flying Show, the head of flight instruction out at Ascent Aviation. They have two locations. You're interested in flying an airplane. If you're on the ground and you're looking up in the air and you're seeing an airplane fly over and you're kind of wondering what's going on in that airplane, which many of us have for a long time, Well, John Nafak is here with us this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Jack. Pleasure to be here.
Good to have you back. John is the head of flight operations out there at ASIN Aviation. You've got a number of certified flight instructors working for you, and you have a lot of student activity going on at both locations, Fernandina and at Hurlong Field. So is that cranking up still pretty good for you out there?
We haven't had a drop in business for 5, 6, 7 years now.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. And how many flight instructors do you have out there now?
We have five guys that are actively flying 70, 80 hours a month.
Yeah? Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
In the studio is one of your students, a gentleman by the name of Christopher Moore. Good morning, Christopher.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Let's speak up a little bit there, Christopher. Now, when we saw you earlier this morning, you shared with me that you just soloed this morning.
Yes, sir.
And you don't seem too excited about that. Is it all just still burbling down in your belly, or are you kind of a low-key guy anyway?
I'm kind of a low-key guy anyway.
Yeah. So let's talk about that solo. How many hours have you flown prior to John? Is John your instructor, or is somebody else your instructor?
John's my instructor,
okay.
Yes, sir.
So how many hours, John, did he fly before you felt comfortable that he could go up alone?
Well, we flew about 15 hours together. Chris is a very good student, attention to detail, does what he's supposed to and procedural-wise in the airplane.
Right.
Really good.
Right. And so this happened this morning.
Yes, sir.
The weather was pretty good, I take it.
Beautiful. Clear.
What plane did you fly with, 172 or a 150?
172.
172, little four-seater. And you were up and at them pretty early this morning to do this, yeah?
6:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Going.
Well, all right. Now, walk us through it. What happened?
So we were just going over yesterday's stuff, the pre-solo stuff. Got to go up in the pattern and practice a few landings, and John felt confident that my landings were nice and smooth. There was no wind. Yesterday we were going to try to do it, but it was a little windy. There were some good gusts. So we put it off till this morning, and then this morning's weather was just beautiful.
Yeah, Chris was doing fabulously last night, actually yesterday afternoon late, but with the wind and gust, it was a bit too much, so we delayed it to this morning. Got up at the crack of dawn, and we're out there doing it.
I think one of the most exciting things about flight lessons is that first monument of flying by yourself, and it is a big day, and you'll always remember it. But before you do your solo, John takes you through a number of maneuvers that you'll be consistently doing as you keep on going flying.
That's correct.
For example, steep turns. Did you have any issue with that particular maneuver? That's a maneuver that a lot of pilots seem to struggle with.
You know, initially doing the steep turns, just trying to get the sight picture right, just trying to keep the nose attitude correct during the turn was a little challenging. But I felt like once I was able to understand what the sight picture is supposed to look like throughout the turn, it just felt natural.
Now, what got you interested in flying airplanes?
Actually, my dad was an aircraft mechanic. He's passed away now, but he was an aircraft mechanic, retired. He worked for TWA for a solid 15 years and just a line mechanic off and on, so I was raised around aircraft, and I've always loved flying since I was a little kid, and finally decided, you know, gonna do the thing.
When did you start up?
With my training now? Or?
Yes.
So my training now, I originally started in 2019,
yeah.
And then COVID hit, and so I took a couple years off
because
of COVID, and then just now got back into it in about March, so...
Chris has desire. He drives from Apopka to train with us up here in Jacksonville.
How far away is that?
On a motorcycle on I-4 and I-95.
Holy mackerel.
I'm trying to encourage him to get in a four-wheel vehicle to make that trip.
Aren't there other flight schools closer to you? I'm just kidding. ASINT's the best, but are you, why would you go to ASINT when you probably have flight schools closer to you?
Well, ASINT had a good financing options.
Yeah.
So we chose ASINT with the pilot finance program that they have there.
Yeah.
And it's been it's just been a delight flying with those guys. Everybody that I've flown with's been super professional, just consummate, and it's just a great company to be involved with. And
appreciate that plug, Chris.
Yes, sir.
And we're not even going to charge you for that. Well, anyway, congratulations to you, Chris, on soloing. So your next step is continue toward your private pilot license, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And so your next few maneuvers will be you going out by yourself a little bit, maybe? Maybe doing some short cross-countries? Yep. Is that on the plan, John? Is that what part
of the... Every time Chris comes out to fly with us hereafter, he's going to be soloing every time he comes out.
Right.
And we're going to be doing dual cross-country training together. We have a day and night cross-country to do together, and then... we'll kick Chris out to do a solo cross country.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing more from you, Chris, and for your adventures with ASIN Aviation, and congratulations to you.
Thanks so much.
All right. And, Bob, if you'd step back up again to that microphone Chris is at, I've got a few more minutes. I want to talk to John, Bob, and Joel about being a CFI. Certified flight instructors are guys that will work with, and some women, I guess there's a few women CFIs out there. Yes,
there's quite a few.
There are.
I know that the JU program has about a half a dozen, and then ATP has four or five that are current CFIs at Craig Airport.
Now, when you teach kids, mostly younger adults, but I guess there's guys like me now and then that come to you, are crosswind takeoffs and landings a difficult thing to teach? We'll start with John. John, how do you go about that when you're looking at a guy coming in for a crosswind landing? Are you teaching a crab method or a wing low method or both?
Yeah, the only acceptable method is a wing low top rudder method. Basically, we want to make it as simple as possible. So we have rudder controls, ailerons, and elevator. Elevator works the same. With ailerons, they work the same as no wind. And it's like driving a car. You keep the center line of the runway and use the rudder to keep the wheels aligned. And Bob's been through this. That's all it takes.
I got yelled at by Joel during crosswind landing.
Did I?
Oh, my gosh.
What did I say?
I mean, just constantly yelling at me about – and, of course, you know if you screwed it up because if the plane kind of barks left or right when you touch the mains, you're like, yeah, and you kind of – then you know that's bad.
That's not good.
I don't yell at him. I said, my tires.
No, he's yelling at me. It's a
my
traumatic
brakes,
event.
My tires.
So here's this is funny you should ask this, because all summer long we would fly first thing in the morning, which has no wind at all. So it's very easy for a student to go fly first thing in the morning in the summertime, and because there's zero wind. So you don't have these corrections you have to make. You can just learn to land the airplane, which is great. Now that students soloed, it's time to get into the crosswind stuff. Mm-hmm. You start searching out runways that aren't necessarily completely aligned with the wind. So that's what we're going to work on next.
Right.
So it's going to be very interesting. So
now, but what about you, Joel, as far as you're teaching someone crosswind landings? What is your philosophy toward that? I mean, some kids, students get a little wigged out by that, I would think.
It's one of the hardest things to learn because there's not two the same. The wind changes. Every landing is different, and the wind's going to be different. And what I usually do is I go to a long runway, whether it be Jackson International, Cecil Field, in a good crosswind, and I make the student come down and stay at 5 feet off the ground and fly down the runway at 5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then use the rudder and ailerons to line up with the center line.
Right.
And go around, and after about three passes, they get the sight picture of what they're looking for. And then as they're in slow flight going down the runway, ease the power back and land the airplane.
Is that called a 6-inch killer? Does that phrase mean?
I don't
anything?
Like the word killer in
no,
an airplane.
No, I don't either.
But I've never heard that terminology.
Well, one of the instructors I had once actually said, "Let's go do some 6-inch killers." I didn't have a clue with that.
Never heard that.
That's a new one.
Yeah. What about night flying? How do you teach that, John?
You land the same way at night you do in the daytime, but there's less visual cues. So you have to use much more intelligently. You have the edge lights of the runway and whatever other lights are available at the runway you're operating at, and you land the same way, though.
What requirements are there for a student as he goes to his private pilot license for night flying?
So you need a cross-country night flying with your instructor, and then you need 10 takeoffs and landings at night with an instructor.
When you do a landing, do you have to do a full stop, or can they be touch-and-goes?
I believe it's full stop at night. But I will tell you, the landing thing at night for me was challenging, and this is something I'm going to think about a lot, is because the runway lights are higher, as you're coming into the runway, you get this illusion that the asphalt is actually in a different location.
Well, the depth perception is a little bit different, yeah. Well, okay, fastest hour in radio has come to a close. We're here at the High Flying Show. We will return in November. Thanks to John Nafak of ASIN Aviation, Bob Cam, our former Air traffic controller, now CFI. Bill Stull, commercial pilot, flying down to Oak Marsh or Spanish Harbor or wherever the hell you're going. And Joel Wiener, the Wiener on the High Flying Show. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you in November.
Listening to the High Flyin' Show with Jack O'Brien and featuring Joel Wiener. Special thanks to naval aviator and commercial airline pilot Garfield Benson, commercial pilot Bill Stull, certified flight instructors John Nafek and Bob Camp. Today's show was sponsored by your First Coast Honda dealers. Be listening next month for the High Flyin' Show here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.